All right, let's open our Bibles now to the book of Romans. Book of Romans, chapter 1. I want to read a passage out of the Old Testament, and then I'll come to Romans chapter 1, and I will read the first verse, and then we'll read responsively. But I'll read two verses, Leviticus and then Romans. You turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. And I'll read from Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. Let's stand now for the reading. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, Romans 1:18, and I'll begin reading, and we read responsibly. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and the birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Our Father, this morning, O God, we pray the Holy Spirit might make us conscious of Thy holiness and our sinfulness, that we may have a greater knowledge of our deep need of Thee. I pray, Lord, for sinners to be saved. I pray for believers that, Lord, we might be the salt of the earth in a corrupt society. Please help us to not to be silent in these days, but to be outspoken in the Spirit. We pray, Lord, that You give us liberty and freedom. Give us the minds of everybody listening, their hearts' attention. And we resist the wicked one who would try to distract us this morning from hearing the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that young people may be warned about sin. I pray for those who may be playing with this despicable sin, may be convicted of the horribleness of it and repent today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. About 3 weeks ago, the Ledger ran a series of messages on the AIDS, and which was actually a portrayal in making the homosexual look like a martyr. He's not a martyr, he's reaping what he sowed. And I felt like I must answer that. I've preached on this about every 2 or 3 years. But what the Bible has to say about homosexuals. Now, The word homo means really sex with the same sex, lesbian. That's female with female, homosexual, male with male. But God ordained a family, a home, and in that home he put a male and a female. One man, one woman, not two men, not two women, not one man and three women, but one man and one woman, and God called that marriage, and God called that home, and the rest is not marriage. The rest is not marriage. Now, this movement, I want to talk a little while before I come back to the scriptures by way of introduction, but this is an ancient sin. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, though, because of the fact it was homosexuality. The Grecian world, just 300 or 400 years before Christ, was filled with that. Socrates was a practice in homosexual. Plato penned a symposium exalting homosexual love. Alexander the Great. Many of the men on the battlefield with Alexander the Great, the Greek warriors, spent much of their lives away from home and they had their lovers at their side. The homosexuality was rampant in Rome, particularly in the upper echelons of leadership. 14 of the first 15 emperors of Rome were homosexuals. Nero's on the throne. Paul's writing this epistle to Rome, and Nero was a homosexual. Caesar Augustus, and on and on and on, how rampant it was. And it's one of the things for the overthrow of the Roman Empire. We think of such well-known personalities: Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, Christopher Marlowe, Shakespeare, Frederick the Great, Goethe, Beethoven, Tchaikovsky, Oscar Wilde, Andrew Guide, Walt Whitman, W.H. Auden, and Somerset Maugham, and you go on and on and on. And Hollywood is saturated with homosexuals. And our government is saturated with homosexuals. Our society is saturated with homosexuals. The Bible doesn't use the word homosexual. The Bible uses a word, calls them sodomites. And actually a better word would be the word pervert or queer. Now, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm talking seriously. Homosexual is a kind of respectable word. But if I read to you this morning what I have on my desk, I wouldn't dare read it. I'd have folks throwing up all over the place. This is the most vile, despicable, dirty, unclean thing that you could ever imagine, and you could never imagine the lifestyle of a homosexual. The average homosexual has from 1,000 to 1,600 partners in his lifetime. And any of you young people are tempted that way, anybody else, I'd let you come to my office and just let me read you research about the lifestyle, and I'll assure you it almost made me throw up. And if I read it this morning, we'd have a dirty auditorium, because what I'm reading is filth, is dirty. And this is a age that's trying to make us feel guilty that because of the fact that we begin to denounce homosexuality. No, no, you can't make me feel guilty. The shoe's on their foot. And it's dirty. It's vile. And someone say, well, it's in homosexuals or in chromosomes. No, it's not. God doesn't send people to hell for chromosomes. He sends people to hell for sin. And Evelyn Hooker, famous for research on homosexuality, says there's no evidence that homosexuals have faulty hormone levels or that their sexual orientation can be changed with hormone injections. Charles Wall said the vast preponderance of evidence clearly indicates that homosexuality is a learned disorder and is not genetically inherited. You didn't get that from anybody but yourself. Now, somebody might have inclined you that way, and let me hear some learned relationships, and they're generally fixed by age 6. But here are some things that incline toward homosexuality, but it's a learned matter. Now, here they are. Parent-child relationships, other family relationships, Christian counseling. Homosexual has been found to result when mothers distrust or fear women and teach theirs to their sons. Or mothers distrust or fear men and teach this to their daughters. Or a son is surrounded by too many females, mother, sisters, aunts, so that he learns to think and act like a girl. Or parents who want a daughter but got a son suddenly raise a boy to think and act like a girl. A similar situation arises when parents wanted a son but got a daughter. Or a son rejected by the father and hence feels inadequate as a male. Or a daughter rejected by the mother and hence feels inadequate as a female. or both parents are afraid of sex, silent about it in the home, or strong in their condemnation of sex, and all of this, the child gets a distorted view of sex, and as a result struggles with heterosexual adjustment, or a mother so overindulgent that the child is overly attached to the parent, unable to break away and convinced that no mate could ever compare with mother, especially the son. Now, I repeat, the news media is trying to make us feel guilty. I see adults, I see grandma and grandpa, I've seen them on television and going for parades. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. Now, let's find out what the Bible has to say in just a moment. In a ledger, Jerry Clapper, administrative assistant at Tampa's Metropolitan Community Church, said, AIDS virus put me more in touch with God and His love for me. Yes, if he got saved, God could use AIDS virus to make him turn to God and repent of his sins. We may be in touch with God, but AIDS never made anybody closer to God if they failed to repent of their sins. He's not sure how he got AIDS. He's a homosexual, but also had open heart surgery with extensive transfusion in Atlanta 3 years ago. There's more chances of him getting AIDS from his homosexual background than ever from transfusions. At the Metropolitan Community Church formed to minister to the gay community, Clapper won't encounter condemnation of his homosexuality or any suggestion that church members consider AIDS a punishment for their lifestyle. Well, I disagree. I believe venereal disease is a judgment of Almighty God. I believe that. You can't shake me with that. Now, some folks who are innocent get hurt. I'm not talking about that. But this I do know, that men and women who are true to each other, married men and women who are true to each other, need not fear venereal disease in any form. They don't have to take any precautions. They don't have to worry a bit in the world about it. But those, listen, who are outside of marriage, and God said marriage is honorable and all in a bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. And I believe AIDS is a judgment of God. I believe venereal disease is a judgment of God on immorality. I believe that. You can't shake my belief in that. That's based up by scripture and by facts. Now, I repeat, some folks are innocent, get hurt. That's true with any disease. Now, here it said they don't consider AIDS a punishment for that lifestyle. That acceptance is a relief for Clapper, who used to be afraid that God wouldn't accept him because he's gay. Now, he says he knows that it isn't true. Now, God will save a sinner when he repents, whoever he is. God's no respecter of person. Any poor sinner, homosexual, drunkard, whatever they are, God, murderer, God will save that sinner when they repent of their sins. But God will not save anybody who fails to call what they're doing sin. He only saves sinners. He came in the world to save sinners. And if you do business with God, you have to be honest. I'm a sinner. And as long as you justify your sin, you do not do business with God. Now, you can make up your mind and say, oh yeah, God accepts me all you want to, but I have the Bible that declares to the contrary. Homosexuality kills. After 4 years of studying, the San Francisco AIDS Foundation had to finally confess, after 4 years of studying thousands of cases of AIDS, the evidence is becoming increasingly clear. Anal sex is the number one cause of AIDS transmission in America. Where did it begin? A lot of folks do not know that, because of lobbying, that the original name for AIDS was called GRID, Gay-Related Immunodeficiency Disease. That was its title. But the homosexual population didn't want this identified with them as being the cause, and through their lobbying effort, then they had the thing changed by sodomite medical activists, that the name changed to GAY. But it's called GRID to start with. And a lot of people don't know that. 60% of the sodomites have 1,000 to 1,600 partners. And wonder, well, how in the world did I get AIDS? Well, there's something wrong with the lad sticking a head in the sand. In 1953, my textbook in psychiatry, it called Homosexuality Perversion. on the statutes of the states of our country, they listen, it's called sodomy, and it's called perversion. It's called sodomy, called perversion. But we've come a long way since then, professing ourselves to be wise, we've become fools. Now, are homosexuals gay? No, they're not. That's a bad word for them. They're not gay. Dr. Daniel Kaplan, the Canadian psychiatrist, wrote, homosexuality by definition is not healthy or wholesome. A homosexual person at best will be unhappier and more unfulfilled than the sexually normal persons. Their emotional and physical consequences to this protracted state of mental dissatisfaction. The homosexual person at worst will die younger and suffer emotional, mental, and physical illness more often than the normal person. The natural history of the homosexual person seems to be one of frigidity, impotence, broken personal relationships, psychosomatic disorders, alcoholism, paranoia, psychosis, and suicide. Tim LaHaye states there may be as many as 25 to 30,000 suicides each year by homosexuals. Now, how about their power? And then we'll get to the scriptures. How powerful are they? Well, I'm going to say this again. I said it a couple of weeks ago. But the most treacherous, we think about national security, the most cowardly, the most irresponsible act that I know of in American history was committed by Congress. When Congress would not call this an epidemic, a health problem, but called it a civil rights problem. You know why? Man, homosexuals are powerful lobbyists and we'll lose our position, and their position is more important than the welfare of the United States. They're calling the matter of the AIDS epidemic, calling it comparable to a nuclear war. And people are parading in the streets. Oh, no nukes, no nukes, no nukes, no nukes. But hey, how about getting into the streets and parading and no AIDS, no homosexual, no homosexuals? And we raised a generation. I preached a sermon in 1969. Well, the judgment of America, and the judgment of America found in the 5th chapter of Isaiah, and I believe God judged America back in the 60s or earlier than that. God removed their leadership, and God said, I'll take away your leadership, and I'll give children and babes to rule over you. And we got children and babes in Washington playing government for the most part. Now, you read Isaiah, the 3rd chapter. Now, you talk about treason and hiding and running behind something. Well, measles is a health disease. Oh, you get upset about measles, scarlet fever. That's a health problem. But no, the AIDS, that's a civil rights problem. It's not a civil rights problem. It's a national health problem. But we're afraid of it. And I'm through with the introduction. Patrick J. Buchanan, Human Events, March 5th, 1988, talks about the most important victory for gay rights ever issued by court in the United States, says Tom Stoddard of the Lombada Legal Defense and Education Fund. An incredible victory, adds gay rights activist, former Air Force Sergeant Leonard Matlovich. Both men were hailing the U.S. Courts of Appeals ruling in San Francisco, stripping the Army of authority to exclude homosexuals from the ranks. They're not exaggerating. The nation's second highest court has decided the Constitution henceforth forbids the Army from doing what the Army has a right to do since the Constitution was ratified. And here's a judge said, no, the Constitution doesn't have a right to do what it's been doing. It has to do differently. Here truly is judicial activism. When Robert Bork was publicly hanged, Heist, in the Senate Bill of Particulars, was a charge that Bork would write his own opinions into the Constitution. Yet this is precisely what Federal Judge William Norris did in San Francisco. The same men who savaged Robert Bork were saluting the name of William Norris. In better times, this judicial usurpation might have been brought a clamor for impeachment. But Americans have grown accustomed to judicial tyranny, and a Congress so cowardly it cannot publicly set its own pay scale will not self-governing people that we may and may not do. That's into that article. And so what do we do? Our judicial system. We change the Constitution for the homosexual crowd. Do you know how strong the homosexuals are? They outspent their most significant opponent over 50 to 1. the number one gaze out, when it comes to putting people on the streets or of walking precincts, right to lifers are number one, but sodomists are running a strong number two. Sodomy, number two in the nation of putting people in the precincts. And I want to tell you, they're a powerful force, and I don't admire cowards, though. Our leaders will not take a stand generally. Why? I lose my office. There's something more important than your office, and that's national security. Now, what does the Bible have to say about homosexuals? If you'll listen, just listen. I'll be gone from verses. I have so many I want to cover time you get there, I'll be gone. So if you'll just listen, please. In Genesis 13:13, God said the men of Sodom and were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Not only were they sinners, but they were wicked, In Genesis 18:20, when God came down and talked to Abraham about the Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. Genesis 19:7 and verse 13, the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 24, the Bible has this to say. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. And he names all the various forms of sexual perversion in Leviticus, the 18th chapter. He deals with incest. He deals with homosexuality. He deals with adultery. He deals with fornication. He deals with bestiality. And indeed, names all these things, and he said the land vomited the people out. The land was sick on its stomach because of that. And God calls it an abomination. Leviticus 18:24 calls it defiling. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5, and I don't think we quite understand God's hatred of this sin. And the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination of the Lord. We're not to identify. God identified a man and a woman, and a man is to look like a man. You're all able to identify. That's a man, and that's a woman. You ought to be able to identify that. And God calls it abomination. Leviticus, the 20th chapter, verse 13, calls for the death penalty for homosexuality. Turn to Romans now. If you're back to Romans chapter 1, if you're still there, let's look at this. Romans chapter 1, God calls it uncleanness. God calls it a dishonor. Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. And if I read you, I repeat again, if I read you the report that I have, or a PhD that graduated from my alma mater and went on to further study, and he's a representative in the state of Indiana, if I read you the report this morning, I'll assure you that people would be throwing up all over this place. You talking about uncleanness, it's filthy. It's filthy. Uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies. God says, now what? It's uncleanness. God says, you dishonor your bodies. Verse 26 and 27, he called it vile affections. It's not love. It's not even, it's vile affections. And Romans 1:26-27. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There are a lot of things that God says, be not deceived. And we've sold, this is a day of civil rights. Yes, sir. I can go to heaven like I want to. Now I got a God after my own image, and he'll take me on my own terms. Yes, sir. God. Yeah, he's accepted me. You're not telling the truth. Thy word is truth. Here's truth here. If you want to know whether God accepts you, you better get it out of the word of God. You better not get it out of your heart. You better not get it to philosophers. You better not get it from public opinion. You better not get it from television. You better not get it from Hollywood. You better get it from the word of God. Now listen to what God says. Be not deceived. Verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators. And fornicators is a broad term for immorality in any form. They're not going to heaven. And there are a lot of fornicators come to church shacked up, no shame and no disgrace whatsoever. And God called you, listen, a fornicator. neither be not fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Here you have the homosexual. Nor thieves. Oh, man, this is a thieving age. And I mean, everybody wants to steal everything. Not everybody, but you hold everything. There's steal here and steal there and steal here and steal there. God said thieves aren't going to heaven. They'd go to heaven, they'd try to steal the pearly gates. Nor thieves, nor covetous. Man, boy, I wish I had. Nor drunkards. Hey, we call them alcoholics. God calls them drunkards. We call it a disease. It's not a disease. It's sin. Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And God said, don't be deceived. Shall not. Now, as a matter of way, let me say something else. 1 Corinthians 11:14, God said long hair on a man's ashamed of him. Same word used dishonor in the book of Romans chapter 1. That's identification with that crowd. Now let's look at, turn to Genesis chapter 9. God's judgment on homosexuals. First of all, national destruction. Secondly, city destruction. And then we'll talk about international destruction. Genesis chapter 9. Now this is Christmas time, but hey, I sure like to be preaching something different. But I'm not going to let the city paper put out and people read that and they're making martyrs of them. That must be answered from the Scriptures. And we've got a lovey-dovey attitude toward this sin. And it's not a lovey-dovey attitude. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. And if you've got a lovey-dovey attitude that homosexuality is all right, God won't hear you pray. Now, Genesis 9... don't know exactly what went on here, but here's a man named Ham. His daddy got drunk. That's wrong. The Bible puts it, it doesn't cover it up. Noah got drunk. And he was uncovered in his tent. Verse 22, 9th chapter. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. Now, father of Canaan. I mean, here, right, the father of Canaan. Saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth came and covered him up when they saw not their father's nakedness. When Noah woke, look what he said, verse 25, the servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Now let's turn to the 10th chapter, verse 6. I believe Ham committed a homosexual act with his daddy. He did something. He woke and knew what his son had done, unto him. Why do I say that? The 10th chapter, verse 6 of the 10th chapter of Genesis. And the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. Drop down to verse 15. Now all these ites came from Canaan. Look at verse 15. And Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusites, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinabite, and the Arvadite, and the Zimmerite, and the Hamathite. And afterward, the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. What he called all of them, Canaanites. Where was Israel going? They were going to the land of Canaan. Well, what's the land of Canaan? If you'll turn to the book of Leviticus now, the land of Canaan was a place of sexual perversion. Read the 18th chapter. You're going to land of sexual perversion. They're called Canaanites. And who was the father of Canaan? Ham was the father of Canaan. And Noah said, cursed be Canaan. Oh, when he saw his son, that son had done to him. Now look at Leviticus 18, verse 2. They're thinking about going, they're going to the land. God warns about their history and God warns about the future. As we come to the children of Israel and say unto them, I'm the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall you not do. You're not to do like the Egyptians, and the Egyptians was idolatry. In the book of Exodus, he said, against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. You're not to worship idols like the Egyptians. Now, and after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall you not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. And the Canaanites was a manner of immorality in every form. Read the rest of the chapter, and God said, I'm taking you into the land, And the land is vomiting itself out, is expelling these people because of their sin. Boy, when the ground vomits, something bad's going on. Now read the 18th chapter. Now, look at the Deuteronomy chapter 20. God said, now when you come into the land, this is what I want you to do. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 16. The cities of these people which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. But thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee that they teach you not to do after their abominations which they have done unto their God. So should ye sin against the Lord your God. And sodomy means a male temple prostitute. And what did they do? Unto their gods they performed the awful, terrible, horrible sin of sodomy. What did God say? He said, you don't leave anybody that breathes. Oh. And an infidel liberal said, the God of the Old Testament is a dirty bully. God of the Old Testament is the same God in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God reveals the awfulness of sin and his condemnation of sin. In the New Testament, God reveals the greatness of his love towards sinners. In the Old Testament, a prodigal son was destroyed. That shows how awful the sin, the rebellion against the home is. In the New Testament, you see the love of God for the prodigal in the 15th chapter. Love of God, sin of man. And you never understand the love of God until you see the depths of the iniquity of the sin of man. Now what? God said, you're not to live like the Canaanites. Thou shalt utterly destroy it. A doctor, we had a lady in our church, had a foot amputated. A mean rascal. Terrible. Horrible. No, he did that to save the rest of her. There are folks who had cancer and they've had surgery. What do they do? To save their lives. And man, they take a knife and they cut and it hurts and it hurts and it hurts. And for a human race, God said, destroy utterly. Destroy utterly. Why? God loves the world. God's not going to sacrifice a world. And here's people in the land of Canaan. God said, now you destroy them. God's a holy God. God's not a God of anger. He's a holy God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. But He's a holy God. And people have forgotten the fact that the God so loved the world, He loved the world. And you want to know how much He loved the world? He hated their sin enough to send His Son to die on Calvary's cross. That's how much He hates sin. Now, God said, national destruction. The first city to fall was the fall of Jericho, and it fell. Joshua's the 6th chapter. Destroy utterly. Secondly, would you turn to the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6? No, you turn to Genesis chapter 19. Municipal destruction. 2 Peter chapter 2, I want to read. You turn to Genesis 19. I read very carefully Genesis 19. I'm reading 2 Peter 2, 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. God said, you want to know what I think about homosexuality? Then you try to find the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. They burned to ashes. And they're an example. They're warning. Now, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul. And I read, if you read what I have read, I could understand the awfulness of how Lot felt in Sodom and Gomorrah by what he saw and what he heard. Now, that's the New Testament. In the Old Testament, let's look. Genesis, the 19th chapter. Lot's in Sodom and Gomorrah. And two angels come to, said, get out of here, we're going to destroy the city. And the angel said, we sleep in the street. And Lot begged them, and they came inside, and these men Look at Genesis chapter 19, verse 4. And before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young. Sodomites enlist boys and girls. They love little children, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto them, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Lot went out at the door and unto them, shut the door after them. And I'm telling you, boy, Lot sure was in sad shape. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. And then he offers to let them vent their passions on his two daughters. How low can a man get? That's pretty low. Now look at the judgment. Verse 25 and verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities. And that which grew upon the ground, verse 28, and Abraham looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. You want to know what the God of John 3:16 feels about sin? Then you look at the sin of a homosexuality, then you look at the smoke coming up from the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all that's left are ashes. That's the God of John 3:16. Now that's city-wide destruction. Now go back to Romans. Here's personal judgment. We talked about national judgment and the destruction of the destroyed utterly. We talked about city destruction. God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now about personal judgment. Now look at Romans chapter 1. Now the homosexual has turned his back on God. Circle a little word also in the 24th verse. God also. They gave up on God. They turned their back on God. They professed themselves to be wise, and that's the evolutionist. And we're knowing, hey, there's no excuse for anybody being an evolutionist. The guy that wrote, a man named Rooney, that wrote the article concerning Darwin this past week in the newspaper and said, nobody of minimal intelligence doubts Darwin. He's not telling the truth. There are PhDs all across this nation that do not believe that story. That's a lie. And there's no reason for a man being an evolutionist. God says so. They're without excuse. Now, verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up. They gave God up. God said, okay, I'll give you up. Young people, could you hear me? The worst thing that God ever could do to you is just let you have your own way, back off and let you alone. You'll die and go to hell. You'll live out the lust of your heart. And you don't know what's in your heart. You read Mark 7:22. Man, every vile thing, the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And God built fences around things to keep us from hurting ourselves. And when a man gives up on God, God gives up on him. God also gave them up. Now what did they do? Then they did what? Unto uncleanness. America has a high standard. It has a high standard of morality in all the world. You know why? Because the Bible was preached and taught in schools and business and everywhere else, and we've turned our back on God. And when you turn your back on God, there's no way in the world to go except down. He gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Hey, did you know you've got a hell inside your heart? You understand that every sin known to man is in your heart, latently? You turn your back on God. I say, okay. I'll just let you see where you go. And they go down, first of all, to dishonor their own bodies. Made in the image of God. Verse 24. Verse 26 and 27 talk about moral degradation. Here's a man with a man and a woman with a woman. And the scripture calls it vile. They left the natural use. This is perversion. Then verse 28, wherefore, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient or becoming. Now, what's a reprobate mind? It doesn't have the ability to discern right from wrong. And that mind that's reprobate chooses wrong and thinks it's right, and hates right and thinks it's wrong. A reprobate mind, unable to make sound moral judgments. You're sitting here and you rebel and kick at the Word of God, the house of God, and the standards of your parents, and say, I want to do my own thing. If you do your own thing, you're going to the hog pen. And I want to tell you, most of you are not coming back either. I've been here 25 years, and I've seen folks go to the hog pen, and most of them went to the hog pen, still in the hog pen. There's every now and then there's one trickles back to them, but most of them go to the hog pen, stay in the hog pen. Dishonor their bodies, moral degradation, perversion, reprobate mind. God said, warn them, call evil good and good evil. And then look at verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, they know that. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Amen. They take great delight in enlisting others to follow their wicked path. And lastly, eternal loss. I read that to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what's the sin of the homosexual? Well, it's again a sin against himself. You all read that. It's a sin against the home. Two men don't make a home. Two women don't make a home. God put a man and a woman and children, that's a home. Now, I don't understand some folks are a broken home. I understand that. I don't talk about that. But two men don't make a home. Two men don't make a marriage. And a home life, a nation is no stronger than its home life. We're in trouble. We're in deep trouble. It's a sin against himself. It's sin against his home. It's a sin against the youth. Did you know I'm not going to holler for a homosexual athlete? Oh, he said, but if he's a drunkard, I don't holler for him either. I'm going to holler for somebody not worthy of my children to look at and say, that's a hero. That's something for you to get excited about. Who you holler for? Oh, he's on our team. I'm going to holler for him if he is on the team. I don't have a team, by the way. My teams are losers. Sin against the young. Sin against fashion. Style. Most of the styles. Hairstyles. Guys. Hey, listen, fellas. Most of the styles come from the homosexual fashion. Art, music, and theater, but primarily he's a sin against God. He's at war with God. Verse 24 says so. He's at war with God. Now what does he do? Look at verse 23. He changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, the birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. He's an idolater. He makes a God that allow him to live with his own sin. Man named Tassel, Jehovah's Witness, says, well, he was scared to death of hell, so he got a religion that didn't have any hell in it. And Mrs. Baker Patterson Eddy was a terrible thing about this idea of sin, so she had a religion, started a religion that didn't have any sin in it. Man's going to have a religion. And that religion will come out of his heart and he'll worship and he'll bow down. He's an idolater. But he swapped what the uncorruptible God into a God of his own imagination, and he's at war with God. Now turn to Ezekiel 16 verse 19. It begins with pride. Where does this homosexual begin? Where does the sin start? Well, the Bible tells you. Ezekiel 16 verse 19. And then we come back to Romans 1. Verse 4, 49, Ezekiel 16. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. What's the next word? Pride. Where Romans say the trouble began, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And the evolutionist is a fool. God said so. He's wise. You mean to tell me that this body, the mechanisms and the computers of every computer in the United States, I heard last week, every computer in the United States couldn't match the computer system in the human body. And you mean to tell me it just happened? You're crazy. In fact, God called you a fool. There's Lincoln Continental sitting back there. Where'd it come from? Well, nowhere. I went to sleep one night, you know, and I started to walk out the front door, and man alive, here came a nut from the south. Here came a fan belt from the north. And here came a radiator from the east. And here came a tire from the mid-south. And here came all of this. You'd say, take him to Arcadia. Take him. Get him out of here. Take him to Arcadia. And you look at this tremendous universe. You look at the human body. And then you said, nobody made it. It just came into being. You are a first-class fool. God said, the fool is said in his heart, there's no God. Did you know what the word fool means? The word means, the derivation is a word that means a man with a withered mind. And only somebody with a withered mind attributes to nothing that which came from an omnipotent, eternal, all-wise God. This was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride! Fullness of bread, plenty. Abundance of idleness, piddling. You don't know what that is, there it is. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Selfishness. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. And abomination was the last part of it. But it all started out with pride. That's the root of it. Now turn to Romans chapter 1 again. Here the homosexual made a threefold exchange. Romans chapter 1, he exchanged a personal God for idolatry. Changed the glory, I read that to you. And practiced immorality as they worship idols. Verse 25, he changed the truth of God into a lie. And worshiped what? The creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Changed truth into a lie as an object of worship. Verse 26 and 27, he changed the natural sexual relationship to perversion. He did that. Now, look at the Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm going to quit shortly. Is there hope for a homosexual? Yes, sir. I've dealt with a homosexual for years. I've dealt with several. Only one I could help was one that was honest with himself. I called it sin, and he didn't disagree. The others had a chip on their shoulder. And you cannot help a homosexual that does not call his perversion what it is. You cannot help him. You cannot help him. He's proud and stuck, and he's very sensitive, and he gets angry and so forth. But this fellow was so embarrassed, he couldn't tell me. Couldn't call it what it was. I knew what he was trying to tell me. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. And I was over, and my office was over here. And I got up and I walked down the hall over to the primary department and went west down the hall to the end where the Pathfinder department is over there. And I heard a fellow back over in this corner of the building, calling out unto God. I'm telling you, he was calling. I heard him all the way over there. I believe God saved. He'd come and he'd go. He'd sit in these services, and I tried to help him. And he said, you're the greatest friend I ever had in all my life. I didn't compromise with him. I dealt with him. And he'd come and he'd go. He'd stay around for months and then he'd be gone. Now where are you going? And I got a call from him this last year, I think it was, from California. I just want to tell you that I'm on top. said, I led my first soul to the Lord this past week. And he said, I got on top of doing what you told me to do to start with. And I said, you'll not make it out there. You'll not make it unless you get in the Word and stay in the Word every day of your life. You will not make it. He said, I went to meetings where they used to be homosexuals and it didn't do a thing in the world for me. And he said, the thing that helped me to get on top and to stay on top is do what you said to start with. Get in the book. And he said, I've been a long time since I've fallen, and I just want to thank you. And he'll call me periodically like that. Is there hope for you? Yes, sir. Look at others. Look at First Corinthians chapter 6. Here's a sweet, sweet. You're somebody here today. Now, your sin is despicable, but I don't tell you that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever. Now, look at this. All right, let's open our Bibles now to the book of Romans. Book of Romans, chapter 1. I want to read a passage out of the Old Testament, and then I'll come to Romans chapter 1, and I will read the first verse, and then we'll read responsively. But I'll read two verses, Leviticus and then Romans. You turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. And I'll read from Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. Let's stand now for the reading. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, Romans 1, 18, and I'll begin reading and we'll read responsibly. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and the birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Our Father, this morning, O God, we pray the Holy Spirit might make us conscious of Thy holiness and our sinfulness, that we may have a greater knowledge of our deep need of Thee. I pray, Lord, for sinners to be saved. I pray for believers that, Lord, we might be the salt of the earth in a corrupt society. Please help us to not to be silent in these days, but to be outspoken in the Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you give us liberty and freedom. Give us the minds of everybody listening, their heart's attention. And we resist the wicked one who would try to distract us this morning from hearing the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that young people may be warned about sin. I pray for those who may be playing with this despicable sin may be convicted of the horribleness of it and repent today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. About 3 weeks ago, the Ledger ran a series of messages on the AIDS, and which was actually a portrayal and making the homosexual look like a martyr. He's not a martyr. He's reaping what he sowed. And I felt like I must answer that. I've preached on this about every 2 or 3 years. But what the Bible has to say about homosexuals. Now, the word homo means really sex with the same sex. Lesbian, that's female with female. Homosexual, male with male. But God ordained a family, a home. And in that home, he put a male and a female. One man, one woman. Not two men, not two women, not one man and three women, but one man and one woman, and God called that marriage, and God called that home, and the rest is not marriage. The rest is not marriage. Now, this movement, I want to talk a little while before I come back to the